When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back to Lincoln, y'all. That's right, back in the 402 for the next couple hours and the rest of the night, really. I'm Austin Norman. I'll be taking you through what is Old School. About as normal as it can be with DP and J on the road in Indianapolis. Old School brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Special Ingredients and Butcher Shop. Every type of meat and every type of cut, as Jay Foreman would like to say. Two Lincoln locations. One of them is at 84th and Havelock. The other is at 30th and Yankee Hill. And then one location up in Omaha at 168th and Maple Street. Definitely go check them out. Fired Up Friday coming up here in just a few days. Find the Mercado on whatever your favorite social media platform is. They'll let you know ahead of time what their Friday lunch special is. Make sure you go check that out again at any of the three locations. 402-464-5685. If you have any thoughts, any questions, any comments from day one of Media Days out in Indianapolis. I want to thank all those sponsors once again. It's 1890 Nebraska, Stevenson Smith Construction, The Complex Lincoln, Warhorse Casino, and Riddle's Jewelry for their sponsorship of our cruise trip out there to Lucas Oil Stadium. Guys, I'm not going to lie, I'm a little jealous, right? I'm not mad that I get to stay home, you know, see my kid every night, not be apart from him, my wife obviously as well, parents, family, friends. Business as usual is good. But there's not even a single Colts fan that made the trip. Like, Jay is actively hating on the city of Indianapolis and the stadium and everything about it. And I'm not even there to defend the Colts' honor at all. Jay won't talk to me. Jay won't listen to me at all from back here. So next year, a couple years, whenever it is, I need to finally make my first trip out there to Lucas Oil Stadium. Hopefully for Big Ten Media Days. But hey, if it's a Colts game too, that would also be fine by me. Again, 402-464-5685 if you've got any thoughts on Big Ten Media Days Day 1. We heard from Illinois, Northwestern, Purdue, Rutgers, Wisconsin, and of course, Ohio State. We'll go over those teams a little bit later in the show, probably in hour number 2. One of those teams we'll talk about here in just a minute. Yesterday during Old School, I broke these Big Ten teams, all 18 of them, down into different tiers of where I think they'll finish, what their expectations are as well. And I didn't get through all of the tiers. I got through most of them, but the top two tiers I didn't get through. I want to finish that discussion up. I don't say we got sidetracked. We had some good Nebraska comments and questions, so make sure you check out the podcast after the show if you missed yesterday's show. Maybe I have Nebraska in my list today. Maybe I had them yesterday. It's for me to know and for you to find out if you missed it. I also had an exchange on Twitter with someone who came after me for not coming correct with my facts. And you know what? They were right. I didn't have all my facts straight, but I think my overarching point was solid. What did we learn from Bryce McGowan's and Nebraska men's basketball that we can apply to Dylan Raiola? What did we learn from Bryce McGowan's that we can apply to Dylan Raiola? We'll go over that next segment, some NFL headlines, and then lots of Big Ten football ahead in hour number 2. All right, 402-464-5685. Here are the tiers that I have for Big Ten football. I've got the new coaches tier. I've got the, oh, you're still here tier, the wait and see tier, the show us something tier, the one-dimensional tier, and the contenders tier. We got through the first of those four. We have the one-dimensional and the contenders tier to go. I will tell you that Nebraska is not in my one-dimensional tier. The reason for that is that as good as the defense was last year, it still wasn't quite at the level of consistent impact like these teams, you know, best units were. Now, it could have been, right? We know the defense kept Nebraska in more games than it belonged in last year. But two of these defenses that I'm going to talk about actively made plays to win games, got takeaways, put points on the board. Nebraska just didn't do that last year, right? It was a stifling defense, absolutely. But if Nebraska, you know, is going to go in the one-dimensional direction and be in this conversation, I needed to see more from the defense. And we know what the offense was last year. Those two defenses that I'm talking about are Michigan and Iowa. Arguably, the two best defenses in the country. Sure, throw Georgia in that conversation. You can throw Minnesota on the low in that conversation. Texas's defense was pretty good, exposed a little bit by Washington, but it was pretty darn good all year long. But for this year, I don't think Iowa has fixed its offense necessarily. I'm sure there's been some tinkering going on. There have been some tweaks, absolutely. But you don't go from a bottom five, bottom 10 offense in college football to middle of the pack in 1 year. I still believe this is going to be a below average Iowa offense. The reasons for optimism for Hawkeyes fans is that the offensive line needed a year. It wasn't at the typical Iowa level that you would think of. And you hope that that is back up to, you know, producing NFL draft talent if you're an Iowa fan. Backfield looks pretty solid. Cade McNamara, as long as he's healthy, is miles better than Deacon Hill was for Iowa last year. Better than Petrus, better than Padilla, all those guys, Padilla, whoever. It hasn't been good for Iowa at the quarterback position. McNamara's not elite, but he's definitely an upgrade. Wide receiving core, we'll see. Caleb Brown had some issues in the offseason. Tight ends, you know, are always going to be good. Lachey got injured last year. He's back, and I assume that'll be with a vengeance. He's a matchup problem. He's a dude. But it's still going to be the defense, right? Led by Higgins, the middle linebacker, led by Castro, the safety, led by Phil Parker, the defensive coordinator. Iowa is still one-dimensional until they prove otherwise. And I think they have to be thought of as one-dimensional until proven otherwise, because the running game that you think of when you think of Iowa, oh, it's defense and running the ball. Running the ball hasn't really been there for Iowa. It hasn't been nearly as efficient as it was in, you know, 2016 through 2018, that range. It's tailed off on the sneak, and people don't talk about it because of how good the defense is, and it's just a general, you know, offensive struggle. But the offensive lines haven't been as good. The running game hasn't been as good, and that's only amplified the struggles of the quarterbacks for Iowa. Two more teams in this one-dimensional tier. One of them's Michigan. Michigan is here because we don't know who the starting quarterback is. We don't know what the offense looks like. We know that Donovan Edwards is there. He was good 2 years ago, did less than split time with Corum last year, took a step back. Is he ready to jump back into the feature back role? Who takes over at quarterback? Is it as simple as, hey, Alex Orji, you're the physical specimen. We're going to plug you in. We're going to build around your strength. You're our Cam Newton. I don't know what it is that Michigan does on offense, what it is they're going to hang their hat on. You know they're going to want to run the ball. You know they're going to want to go play action. But Jim Harbaugh, again, not a guy that's thought of as an X's and O's scheme guy, had some pretty good stuff, was able to coach his young quarterbacks through his system and get exactly what he needed out of them. And he's off to the NFL now. We know Sharon Moore is a standout offensive line coach. He's really good at it. His units and the Joe Moore Award were always in that conversation, if not winning it. So you know that he's going to want to run the ball, especially with an unproven quarterback. No matter who they go with, he's going to be an unproven guy. Is Donovan Edwards ready for his moment? Is Donovan Edwards good enough to stand up underneath the weight of all those carries. There's a reason Corum took over as the guy. Corum was special. I'm not saying Edwards isn't or can't be, but we haven't seen it as consistently from Edwards as we did from Corum. So I'm curious if he's the guy that, Michigan wants to build a running game around, or if they do go more play action. You know, get Alex Orji again, if he's the starter, on the run a little bit more. And then the other one-dimensional team is USC. USC could very easily be in the show-us-something tier, along with Nebraska, Wisconsin, Rutgers, Maryland, and Northwestern, as I see it. But the conversation around USC is that they're one-dimensional. That it's offense, 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 points, 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 nothing else. You can't tell me there's another way to look at USC. Yes, obviously they have to show you something. But what does USC have to show us? They have to show that they're more than one-dimensional. They have to show that they're committed to playing defense, that they're committed to taking on and shedding blockers, that they're able to stand up to bully ball. You can run away from, you can run around a bully, but only for so long. You'll get tired. You got a lot of good defensive coordinators here in this conference. They'll figure it out sooner than later. As good as your athletes are on the offensive side of the ball, Big Ten schemes are just as good. And I wonder if there's going to be any sort of underrating of the talent from these West Coast teams coming in. Oh, he's only a three-star, wasn't only a three-star. Oh, he's only, you know, this tall or only weighs this much. Or, oh, he didn't have, you know, many offers coming out of high school, whatever it is. I wonder if there's a degree of hubris, potentially, pride, arrogance, whatever it is you want to call it, from USC and from UCLA specifically. The reason that I think it's specific to those two teams is that Oregon and...
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
Washington have matched up against Big Ten talent recently and current Big Ten talent recently, right? We know Washington just got done losing to Michigan in the college football playoff championship game. They got an introduction to Big Ten football because right now, Big Ten football is Michigan-style football. Because Michigan's won the conference, what, 3 years in a row now? Because Ohio State is still really good, but they're on the back burner, right? Michigan owns the conference right now. Do I think that continues this year? I don't necessarily, which is why they're in the one-dimensional tier, could also be the show-me-something tier. Michigan's fine. They'll be good. I think that defense is going to carry them to some wins, but I think the loss of Jim Harbaugh is going to be more tangible offensively than it is defensively. But like I said, for USC, do they come in with humility? Do they come in with the spirit of, hey, we have to not just bulk up, we have to man up, have to put our mind to it and find a way to fight through this Big Ten adversity? Or do they try to bring their style, the SoCal style, to the Big Ten? We know Nebraska tried to bring, you know, Big 8, Big 12 style to the Big Ten, and it didn't work. we know all the pitfalls of attempting to do that in a realm like the Big Ten, with a bunch of proud coaches and a bunch of proud programs. It's not as easy as, oh, this is what we want to do, so we're going to go do it. You got to work for it. You got to earn every inch that you get in the Big Ten. Is USC willing and able to do that? I don't know. I guess we'll see. I want to give Lincoln Riley the benefit of the doubt. I think he's still a good coach. I like some of the moves that he made, but does he believe in them? Is Lincoln Riley legitimately convicted in his moves and saying, yep, these are the guys that I know I had to go with to save my career at USC? This is the best, cushiest job I'm going to get. Sorry, Oklahoma, you're a really good job. It's hard to write you off, but come on. Southern California, retirement beaches, and all that sort of stuff. Lincoln Riley, I wonder how often he's imagined himself retiring at USC. Maybe there's more down the road for him in terms of being a college coach. Maybe there's more with a jump to the professional ranks. Right now, given how USC's going, I don't think that happens unless, and I do mean unless, Lincoln Riley, you know, flames out at USC and goes to the NFL. I just don't think that's in the cards. I just don't think that's likely for him. He's a good coach. I don't know if he's a great coach. He might end up being a career coordinator, which, again, I don't mean as a knock or a derogatory term, but if you fail at USC as head coach, are you going to want to, you know, go coach at the Group of Five level to work your way up? Are you going to want to take a Vanderbilt job, a Mississippi State job? Those don't scream Lincoln Riley to me. Could I see him in the new look Big 12? I could. I really could see Lincoln Riley in the Big 12, which, again, makes sense given that he came from Oklahoma is where he got his start. I could see Lincoln Riley going back to the Big 12 and having some success. We have a text on our Starter Heyman text line, 402-464-5685. It comes from Derek in a car. Derek says, I believe Southern Cal will struggle against their Big Ten schedule and probably lose four conference road and home games. Here's that USC schedule. LSU in Vegas, so neutral site, but obviously closer to the Trojans. Utah State, bye week. At Michigan, Wisconsin at the Coliseum. At Minnesota, Penn State at the Coliseum. At Maryland, host Rutgers. At Washington. That's seven straight weeks of football, sandwiched between bye weeks, and that's a pretty brutal stretch. Your first Big Ten game on the road at Michigan, my gut tells me that USC and Michigan put together would be a great team. It's going to be strength on strength. It's going to be styles make fights. You lean Michigan because they're at home in the Big House, and you lean Michigan because we've seen them beat up on teams like USC before. We haven't seen USC run around teams like Michigan before. Wisconsin, we'll see. I mean, that's a hot seat battle, potentially, or a warming seat battle between Lincoln Riley and Luke Fickell. At Minnesota, similar-ish color schemes. We'll see what old PJ has cooking. Penn State at home, that's tough because of the travel for the Nittany Lions. But I think Penn State's the better, more rounded team than than USC. At Maryland, USC should probably win that one. Rutgers at home. Rutgers is just Michigan light, I think, which is, you know, not a bad thing to be. But I still think I take USC to beat Maryland, Rutgers, and then I'm fascinated to see what Washington is. They could be anything. I think they scrape by bowl eligibility. I think they get there. Not hugely sold on it. But then after that seven-game stretch, USC gets a bye. They get Nebraska on the 16th, with Nebraska coming off a bye as well. They go to UCLA week of Thanksgiving, and then Notre Dame to end the regular season. And I think Notre Dame's going to be pretty good this year. Five offensive starters and nine defensive starters returning, 64 Letterman, all according to the Phil Steele preview magazine. And we'll keep getting into old Phil and his previews. Derek in a car says, to me, it looks like a Maryland situation or even Rutgers. Yeah, potentially. I see where you're coming from with that, Derek. A team that, results could definitely be there. Expectations are not at all the same. Expectations are much higher for USC in this new conference than they were for Maryland entering, and of course higher than they were for Rutgers entering. Rutgers won 9 games early on in its Big Ten tenure. People forget. And then it plummeted fast. Flood wasn't able to keep it going. Ash was really bad. And that's why Greg Schiano is there right now. We're still on our text line. We go to Wahoo. And Rick, I'm going to need some clarification. Austin, what do you think the four new teams... what do you think the four new teams would be struggling with this year? I think there's a lot of things that these new teams would be struggling with. I think for USC... it's adjusting to the physical play of the league. And I'm not just saying that offhand. I'm not just saying that because of the narrative. I'm saying that because look at how the Utah versus USC games have gone in recent history. Utah has won those games because they're more physical. You've seen USC skill position players, you know, make plays here and there. But there's a reason Utah has won those games. They're well coached. They're consistent. They're solid. They're steady. And they're physical. They beat you up. USC does not respond well to that. There are plenty of good defensive coordinators in the Big Ten. There are plenty of physical teams in the Big Ten. So that's where I think USC will struggle. UCLA will struggle in kind of the same ways that they've always struggled. In being the forgotten one. In being in Los Angeles, but out of the limelight really at the same time in college football. They'll struggle with a first-year head coach who's now jumping to a new conference. It's great that he's been at UCLA. That'll pay dividends in recruiting, I would think. But that's not going to win games on the field this year. At least I wouldn't count on the Deshaun Foster connection winning UCLA any extra games. What is Washington going to struggle with? Washington's going to struggle because they lost so many players. Washington's going to struggle because they lost the core of that team. Let me pull up my Phil Steele preview for Washington here. I'm just a few pages away from then here in the Big Ten section. So Washington, 14-1 last year, they returned 2 offensive starters and 4 defensive starters. They returned 27 lettermen is all. 9 on offense, 16 on defense, and then 2 special teamers. That's not a lot of consistency. That's not a lot of stability. And it's not just that you lose offensive starters. It's who you lose. Your top 2 receivers, your quarterback, your running back, a couple linemen, that's a big deal. Washington, I think people are doing a good job of tamping down expectations, not expecting the world from Washington again. And the Huskies won some close games last year, but that's because I thought they were well-coached under Kalen DeBoer. They had a baller at quarterback and a couple go-get-it wide receivers, and, well, 3 of them, really, in Romo Dunze, Jalen Polk, and then Jalen McMillan as well. Washington doesn't have that same depth of talent. And they're jumping to a new league, and they're in a place that when Husky Stadium's rocking, it's rocking. But Washington can get forgotten about, even in that scene in football, with the Seahawks, with the Kraken up there with soccer as well. So I worry about Washington falling through the cracks. And then finally, Oregon. Oregon, I think, is going to potentially struggle with the expectations. For my money, they're the second most talented team in the conference. Lanning might step in the door as the best coach in the conference. Maybe some deference to Ferentz having been there. Ryan Day's 56-8 in his time at Ohio State. James Franklin's been around the block a time or two. Schiano's really good at what he does, even if the results aren't there. Bielema's another old head. But it's tough to come into a new league with expectations of winning it. And that's what Oregon's doing, right? Maybe not winning the league, but at least, you know, challenging for the top of the conference. And most people's pick to play in the conference championship game. The Cleveland.com poll had 2 teams with first team votes. It was Ohio State, and then it was Oregon. 21 votes for the Bucknuts, 6 for the Ducks. So Oregon has expectations, legitimate expectations that I think they need to deliver on, given, you know, Phil Knight's rhetoric, Phil Knight's promises and commitment for NIL. I think that has to be upheld on the football field, right? The team has to uphold its end of the bargain to get that funding. Travis, let's get to this after the break. That's a really good question on the text line from Travis. We'll go to break. We'll answer that. We'll talk through it. Want your thoughts. Why is Luke Fickell on the hot seat? Is Matt Rhule on the hot seat as well? We'll ask that question and more when we get back here to Old School.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.